Stand together. I'm going to read a bunch of verses, so be prepared. I've got a message. It's called a Father's Day message. That's how I titled it. Father's Day message. I'm sorry. That's the only title I could come up with it when I was preparing this, but that's what it is. We're going to start reading in verse 21 of Ephesians 5. You know, if we could just live Ephesians 5 and 6, we'd have different families. We'd have better families. We'd have better kids. We'd be better parents and grandparents. We'd be better wives. Not we. I'm not a wife. We'd be better husbands and wives if we could just live what the Bible says. But I'm just going to read. You follow along. I'll read. You follow along in the Bible. Starting in verse 21, Ephesians 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. As I've already said, Lord, I'm so honored to be able to call you my Father. I'm so honored to be able to be called a child of God. I am honored today to be part of the family of God, the greatest family in all the universe. Lord, I pray that you bless this message, bless the service here that we have together. Speak to every one of us as fathers today. Lord, there are many in this room. Not only to the fathers, but Lord, I pray that you'd speak to the mothers. And I pray that you'd speak to every one of us, Lord, today to help us to be better, just to be better Christians. If we were better Christians, we'd be better fathers. We'd be better mothers. We would be better children. We'd be better grandparents. We would be better pastors and preachers and Sunday school teachers. We would be better at everything if we were just better Christians. So, Lord, just work mightily in our hearts and souls now. Lord, again, save the lost. Guide and direct in every single heart that's here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just, while you're, just turn over real quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I just want to read two verses over there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Boy, there's our Heavenly Father right there. I was amazed when I did a search, and I didn't type this all out, but I started to look up the little term, God our Father. And I noticed one interesting thing, that only the Apostle Paul used that in his introduction to many of his letters. He would refer to God our Father. Now, the word Father, with a capital F, refers to God in many places throughout the Bible, primarily in the New Testament, but God our Father, Paul loved that term. And when he was writing to the churches and he was writing to individuals, he would use that term. And the reason that he would use that term is he was referring to our God as our Father. And for the reason to write whatever it is that he was writing, whatever church or whatever person he was writing to, he wanted to convey the message that God is our Father. And there is no greater Father than God. But I want to bring a message today to us earthly fathers and how we as earthly fathers need to be the best fathers we can be. We've all made mistakes. I'm an old father. We've got some old fathers here in the room. We've got some young fathers in the room. We have some fathers that aren't, or we have some men that are potential fathers that aren't fathers yet. And so I'm hoping and praying that this message will be of help. Somebody said this little statement, it may be hard on some fathers not to have a son, but it's much harder on a boy not to have a father. Let that soak down deep. Maybe some of you remember in the 70s a man by the name of Benjamin Spock. He led the way among child-rearing professionals in instructing parents not to discipline their children. He says that doing so would damage the children's ego. But listen to this. Later in life, he realized that he made a big mistake, and he said this, and I quote, "We have reared a generation of brats." Yeah. Wow. Amen. Benjamin Spock said that. "We have reared a generation of brats. Parents aren't firm enough with their children for fear of losing their love or incurring their resentment. This is a cruel deprivation that we professionals have imposed on mothers and fathers. Of course, we did it with the best intentions. We didn't realize until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents." Benjamin Spock said that. A seminary professor was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and one morning they were eating breakfast at a little restaurant, hoping to enjoy a quiet family meal. While they were waiting for their food, they noticed a distinguished-looking white-haired man moving from table to table, visiting with the guests. The professor leaned over and whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." But sure enough, the man did come over to their table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked in a friendly voice. "Oklahoma," they answered. "Great to have you here in Tennessee," the stranger said. "What do you do for a living?" "I teach at a seminary," he replied. "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I've got a really great story for you." And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair and sat down at the table with the couple. The professor groaned and thought to himself, "Great, just what I need, another preacher's story." The man started by saying this, "See that mountain over there?" pointing out the restaurant window. "Not far from the base of that mountain, there was a boy born to an unwed mother. He had a hard time growing up, because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. 'Hey, boy, who's your daddy?' Whether he was at school or in the grocery store or at a drugstore, people would ask the same question, 'Who's your daddy?' He would hide at recess and lunchtime from other students. He would avoid going to the stores because that question hurt him so bad. When he was 12 years old, a new preacher came to the church. And he would always go in late and slip out early to avoid hearing the question, 'Who's your daddy?' But one day, the new preacher said the benediction so fast he got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. Just about the time he got to the back door, the new preacher, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, 'Son, so who's your daddy?' The whole church got deathly quiet. He could feel every eye in the church looking at him. Now everyone would finally know the answer to the question, 'Who's your daddy?' This new preacher, though, sensed the situation around him and, using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could give, said the following to that scared little boy. He said, 'Wait a minute. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You're a child of God.' And with that, he patted the boy on the shoulder and said, 'Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Now go and claim it.' With that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time, and he walked out the door a changed person. He was never the same again. When anybody would ask him, 'Who's your daddy?' he'd just say, 'I'm a child of God.' The distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, 'Isn't that a great story?' The professor responded that it really was a great story. As the man turned to leave, he said, 'You know, if that new preacher hadn't told me that I was one of God's children, I probably would have never amounted to anything. and he walked away. The seminary professor and his wife was stunned, and called the waitress over and asked her, "Do you know who that man was that just left, that was sitting at our table?" The waitress grinned and said, "Oh yes, of course everybody knows who he is. That's Ben Hooper. He's the former governor of Tennessee." See, anybody can be anything if they realize who they are in God's eyes. And he had to realize that he was one of God's children, that his father will never, ever, ever do anything against him. As I said a minute ago, if everybody could live chapters 5 and 6 of Ephesians, we'd be different people. We'd have different families. We would be different husbands and different wives, and we'd be different children, and we'd have probably different grandchildren. Unfortunately, every one of us live with sin and live in a sinful world. And so this takes work. You're not going to be a godly father or a godly mother without some work involved, without the Word of God. You can try all you want, but it will not work. I want to give you just a few things here this morning of what a godly father, what's the responsibility? What does a godly father need to be a godly father? Jot these things down, if you would, because I believe it's extremely important that we understand the importance of being a godly father. Number one, a godly father needs to be a provider for his family. Amen. Godly fathers need to provide for their families. Look at 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8. We seem to live in a society today that dads have reduced their responsibility to provide for their family. Not just in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Now that's harsh words from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, but he is urging you better take care of your family. Now, we could sit around and we could discuss what that is. I believe it incorporates or encompasses a wide variety of things. I believe that a husband or a father needs to provide physically for their family. That is our job. God gave us that responsibility. Dads, men, it's your responsibility to provide for your family, not your wife. Don't get too many amens nowadays on that one. But that is the responsibility. Biblically, that is the responsibility of the man, is to go out and to work and make a living, not send your wife out and work and make a living. Amen. It's your responsibility. Now, there are situations and circumstances, obviously, yes, we're not going to get into it. I'm just saying, basically, that is the responsibility of the man. Your job is not to sit home and do nothing while your wife goes out and works. If you can go out and work, if you're physically capable, if you're physically incapable, that is a whole different thing. Please understand me, I still love you. But I'm just saying, it's the man's responsibility to provide for his family. He is to provide the necessary things for the family. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this, Paul says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Wow. You don't work, you don't eat. Tell that to the government nowadays. We don't have that mentality today. We think everything is owed to us. We think that we deserve everything. That's not the case. You don't work, you shouldn't eat. But that's the mentality today. I don't need to work, but I want to eat. I don't need to work, but I still want all the things that I enjoy. So the man, the husband, the father needs to be a provider for his family. You need to provide the food and the clothing and the shelter and the things that you need to provide. You need to do that. That's obvious. That should be a no-brainer. You shouldn't argue with me on that. You should say amen. And I'm going to be the best provider that I can possibly be. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to realize that that is my responsibility. My wife never had to work. Amen. Kathy never had to work. A couple times that she went off to work, just something she wanted to do, she never had to work. I always made sure that I made... Listen, we don't have a lot. I didn't make a lot. There was times that I made some. But listen, we didn't... We learned to sacrifice to not have everything so she didn't have to go out and work. That's my own personal testimony. Okay? That's just me. Not every family is like that. But I always wanted to make sure that when I got a job, I had a job that was going to support and take care of my family, where my wife didn't feel obligated that she had to go and work just so we could make ends meet. But that's me. I'm a little old-fashioned in that area, I guess. I know that's not the way it is so many times today or with so many families today. But the man is to provide the necessary things for his house. Listen, guys, I'm just going to say this and move on. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Somehow, some way, you get a hold of that and you understand the responsibility that you have. It's also the responsibility of the father. He is to also provide a way to church and Sunday school for his family and his kids. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Dads, it's your responsibility to get your family in church. It's not your wife's job. It's not your, not somebody else. It's not the neighbor. It's not the pastor. It's not, it's your job. Amen. Your responsibility to make sure that your family is in church. And if you can get, if you listen, you get old, you got grandkids, you try to get them in church. If the parents of those kids will allow it. But it's our responsibility to get people into the house of God. I love you. But we got a lot of lazy dads today. Got a lot of lazy men today. They don't care about getting their family into church. Oh, you go. It's, you know, the wife's job. No, it's not the wife's job. It's your job. Sorry. You know that every one of us someday are going to stand in front of God and give an account of our families, because we are the head of the family. If you have a husband, that's the way we are. Now, ladies, you know, single moms, understand that that is your responsibility. It's not the responsibility. If you don't have a man in your life and your family, we understand that. But dads, I'm telling you, it's your responsibility to make sure that those kids are in church. It's not your wife's job to get the kids into church. But again, we live in a flipped upside down society today. We live in a culture with a mentality that it's not my job. It's not my fault. It's not this, not that. I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. We live in a union society. I'm not against unions, but that's the way it is. It's somebody else's responsibility. It's the father's job also to provide the family, and this is where we've all fallen short, but love. 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 Is there love in your family? Is there love in your family? You provide love in your household, dads. Again, it's your responsibility. You know, the Bible says, for husbands, love your wives. Nowhere does it say for the wives that the wives have to love you. We are commanded as men to love our wives first, and that should be enough to draw them, and they will love us. Come on, ladies, say amen. Can I get a few amens out of the ladies today? I'm trying to help you too, ladies. It's okay. You don't have to sit there, you know, like a bump on a log. You can speak up and say some things. But we are to provide that love. Again, I just read that. Husbands, what? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, many of us would say, oh, I would lay my life down for my wife. I would lay my life down for the family. And thank God many of us probably would be willing to do that. But how much do you really love your family? How much do you really love your wives? How much do you really love your kids? How much do you really love your grandkids? How much do you love your great-grand? I mean, it goes right down the line. How much do you really love? Is there any love there? Or is it all selfishness? I wrote this down in my notes, and I want you to get this, but I wrote this down. I said, a father who does not provide for his family is a father who does not care for his family. Let it soak in for a moment, all right? But a father who does not provide for his family is a father who does not care for his family. So number one, he needs to be a provider for his family. Number two, he needs to be a protector for his family. A protector. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Do I have to walk around with my gun on, you know, drawn out all the time? Do I walk around with a ball bat? Do I have to do... No. We're not... That's a given, okay? Somebody comes into your home, you're going to protect your home, amen? With any means that you have. If you happen to have, a firearm handy, you'll use that. If you have a ball bat handy, you'll use that, amen? If you got a stick handy, you'll use that. If you got a dog like Kimbo, you'll use him. Go get him, Kimbo. Nibbles our toenails. That's all he can do is nibble our toenails. Bites the ankle. Yes. Got a big bite or big bark, but he doesn't bite. I feel so bad for the UPS guys that come in here, and when we have Kimbo out here, it's embarrassing sometimes. But somebody, a stranger, walks in and that dog goes nuts. I mean, he's the protector around here. He doesn't know you. He's going to bark at you until he knows who you are. But that's just the way it is. Do you know what? Us dads got to be a protector of our homes. Look at 2 Peter. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's get into the spiritual aspect of that. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. 2 Peter 2, 1. And so we are to protect our families physically, but how about from false teachings? How about from cults that come around and knock on our doors and work with people? And how about the false teachings? How about wrong churches? There are some wrong churches today. Amen. That we should make sure that our kids or grandkids are not going to those wrong churches because it can mess them up spiritually. Amen. Amen. We are to protect from false teachings and from cults and from wrong churches and from wrong people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that besought them. I have my Bible is actually, there's a letter missing there. I just noticed that. The Lord that what? Besought them? Bought them. See, the U is missing. I didn't know if it was a U or an S supposed to be. Bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so these false prophets can creep in, not only into our churches, but they can creep into our homes. There's things going on today where we are being bombarded by people knocking on our door trying to propagate a false doctrine. Propagate and try to pull people into a false church. Try to teach false things. We need to be so aware of that. You know whose responsibility is? It's the dad's responsibility. Somebody comes knocking at the door, guys. Don't send your wife off to talk to them. Man up. Go to the door yourself. Take your Bible with you. Preach to them. Amen. Don't send your... Oh, go, would you go talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses? Tell them I'm busy. No, get up and go do it. Be a man. You got too many sissies as men today. I love you. There's too many sissies as men today. We've got to be the protectors of our family. We've got to be the protectors of our home. We are to protect from the influence of the world, guys. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. Verse 15. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in him. You know what the problem is? You know what us men are doing? We're bringing in the world into our homes. Worldliness, constantly. We're allowing worldliness into our homes. We're living in a culture today that is all... It's so worldly today. And we allow those things into our homes. We allow those things into the lives of our children and grandchildren. We're to protect from that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What are we allowing our kids to watch on television? What movies do we allow your kids and grandkids to watch? What computer games or video games are we allowing our kids to get involved in? Amen. Remember, it's our responsibility to watch out, to be the protector of our family, of our children. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen, we got to watch the dress that the kids are wearing. Amen. Got to watch what our girls are putting on. We've got to watch what the boys are putting on or the lack thereof nowadays. Too many guys wanting to look like girls. Too many girls wanting to look like guys. You know the Deuteronomy, I mean, Moses talked, literally he talked about that. It's an abomination for a woman to look like a man and vice versa. How about the music that we allow our kids to listen to? How about the playthings that our kids have? How about the entertainment? Boy, we could spend days on entertainment. I've only got a few minutes left. I don't have days. We got into that in Sunday school. We propagate some of these things that we're allowing our kids, we're allowing these video games into our homes, we're allowing this stuff on computers. We got 5-year-olds now that think they have to have a cell phone. We got 5-year-olds that think they have to have a smartphone. And they do have them. I know. It blows my mind nowadays. I heard somebody say, and I agree with this, I don't think a kid should have a cell phone until they're ready to drive a car. That's when they really need a cell phone, when they're driving a car in case something happens out on the road. You don't need a cell phone when you go off to school. How many of us went to school without a cell phone? Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. We didn't even know what a cell phone was when we were kids growing up. Man, I'll tell you what, you got in trouble. The principal called home. The teachers called home. Guess what little Terry just did? And when I got home, I realized that they had called home and they knew all about what little Terry did in school. I didn't have to have a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones. We had the old party line when we were kids. Man, the rotary dials. I mean, used to love. Did you always follow the finger and let it go, right? And then the next. Yeah, that was fun. I always enjoyed that. I wish. You see, I would love to have another old rotary dial phone. I would love to have a rotary dial phone someday. No, I don't know if they would work or not, but we didn't need cell phones.
Were you ever on a party line?
Absolutely.
Pick up the phone.
Yep. Pick up the phone. Finally, the little ladies that were talking, will you stop picking up the phone? Oh, always. We'd get in trouble all the time. Pick it up. They were gossiping, that's for sure. They were talking about me. I know they were. They're talking about little Terry, what he did in school that day. We'd go out and play for hours. We didn't have to have a cell phone to call. Listen, hey, be home by dinner time. Okay, yes, sir, man. We were home by dinner time. We need to protect our children. Dads are to be the protector of his family. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We need to protect our families from the devil. Yes, the devil is very real. He's alive. He's not well, but he's alive. I don't like to give him any credit at all. But he is out to destroy our children. He's out to destroy our families. We are to protect our families from anything that would detour them from the Lord. Sunday morning, dads, get your family up, get them to church. Sunday nights, dad, get your children up, get your family up, we're going to church.
Oh, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I'm really tired. I had a busy day just sitting doing nothing today.
A father that cares not about protecting his family is a father that does not care for his family. Number three, a godly father needs to be the priest of his family. The priest of his family. What do I mean by that? He needs to be the spiritual leader of his family. The spiritual leader of the family. The spiritual leader of the home to guide in spiritual matters. It's our responsibility. Listen, if there's a father, if there's a dad in that house, Dads, fathers, it's our, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to be that spiritual leader, to be the, when I say the priest, I'm using like the Old Testament terminology to be the spiritual leader of that home. We need to pray for the salvation of our children and grandchildren. That's being the priest of the home. Take a look at Acts 16 and verse 30. Acts 16, 30. Acts 16, verse 30. Now believe me, dads, you know who I'm preaching to today more than you?
Come on.
Right here, this guy behind the pulpit. I'm preaching to me more than I'm even preaching to you today. Because I need this just as bad, if not more than you do. Amen. 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 Acts chapter 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Paul threw that in there. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. I mean, it went from the jail to his house, and he took the same took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized. He and all his straightway. Mom got saved, kids got saved, grandkids, whoever's in that house got saved. The dog got saved, the cat got saved, the fish got saved, everybody got saved. The fish was already baptized, so the fish didn't have to get baptized. But everybody got saved. And that man, that CO, he realized the importance of that. Godly father should see that his family grows in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Now, again, I love you and I care about you and your family, but do you get them into Sunday school? Sunday school. Sunday school is not just for just a select few. Sunday school is for anybody. We have a class for all the kids here. I believe that they should be in Sunday school. I believe that with all my heart. A godly father is going to make sure that his family is, that he's the priest of his family. We should also see as a godly father that our family is settled and grounded in the faith. It's our responsibility, dads. A father that cares not about making sure that his family is in church is a father that does not care for the spiritual needs of his family. Number four, I'm moving along. A godly father needs to be a pattern for his family. A pattern. There's a lot of rotten role models out there. A lot of bad role models. Sorry, there's a whole bunch of them out there. They're famous. Oh, they're famous. They make millions and millions and millions, maybe even billions of dollars. They can jump high and slam dunk a basketball. They can hit home runs. They can run the bases. They can grab that pigskin and run it down and make a touchdown. They can do all kinds of things. They can take that little hockey puck and stick that in there. And I mean, they can do some amazing things. They can get out there and they can sing. But they're horrible role models. Horrible. They're womenizers. They're adulterers. They're fornicators, they're drug addicts, their list goes on, and our kids hang their posters up in their rooms. Our kids practically worship some of these people, and they're horrible role models. The best role model in a house is the father, is the dad. That's the best role model. That's supposed to be the best role model. And after dad comes the mom. Amen. We need to be a pattern for our family. The father is to be a good role model for his children. Do you know children imitate everything they see and hear? I brought this up before, but I can't get it out of my brain. I remember an old black and white commercial where a father was lighting up a cigarette. And he was lighting up the cigarette, and he had his little boy was standing right next to him. And the little boy is looking at dad as he's lighting up his cigarette, and dad is walking along, and the little boy is thinking about doing the same thing. I'll never forget that commercial. I don't remember what cigarette it was. I have no clue, but it was a commercial that literally got a hold of me When we had our first child, I used to smoke. I quit smoking because I said, my kids are never going to see me do that. I've not been the greatest role model for my kids. But if they smoke, it's because they chose to do it themselves. They can never say, Dad did it. They've never seen me take a drop of alcohol. They've never seen me smoke or drink. And I don't know if they've ever heard me swear. I've called them some names. What have I called you, TJ?
Stupid.
Well, if you know what he does, you'd say you'd call. Right? I mean, doesn't our kids do stupid things? And the best word you can come up with is stupid. I know that's not politically correct today, and I would be arrested and, you know, tortured by...
I deserved it.
He probably did. But we are to be role models to our kids. I'll never forget that. Listen, if you smoke... Well, first of all, shame on you. Linda's looking right at Gene. I don't know. I don't want to touch that with a... I don't want to touch that, but we'll move along here. Shame on you, Mommy, for smoking. No, I don't think Gene smokes. Okay. All right. Oh, maybe she was looking at Jim. I don't know. No, I quit a while ago. We need to be a pattern for our family. We need to be a good role model for our kids. We need to be a loving husband to our wives. Every matter of discipline needs to be done in love. That's not always the case. I remember grabbing TJ many a times. Let's go! Boy, he'd get it. And then he'd make me laugh while I'm disciplining him. Then we'd come out, tell your mother that I got you good. He's not even crying. No, he cried in there. Awful. I was terrible. I was not a good father. But we need to make sure that the discipline is done in love.
Yeah, right.
There were many times that we had to discipline, but we say, hey, you know, this hurts us, but we love you. It didn't really hurt us. It hurt them. Where do you get this? Really, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. No, it's not. You're belting them. It hurts them. Bible makes it very clear in the book of Proverbs. Listen, when they cry, you just let them cry. That's a whole different message. You need to be a good pattern for your neighbors to see. Your neighbors see you get up and go to church, carry a Bible and go off Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Huh? Is there any kind of a pattern that your neighbors could say, wow, there's a Christian family, there's a Christian man, there's a Christian woman. Boy, they must love the Lord, and they certainly love that church because they go all the time. Are you the best worker at your job? You should be. A Christian should be the best worker at his or her job. Should be. They should look at you and say, wow, man, I'd like a whole crew of Christians working for me. Because they're so good. They're on time. They punch in on time. They don't punch out early. They give me 8 hours work. Amen. What kind of a role model are we? A father that is not a good, that's not a good role model for his family is a father that does not care for his family. And fifth and final, a godly father needs to be a promoter of his family. A promoter. Should commend his wife and children when they have done well. Amen. Yeah, I really enjoyed that dinner tonight. That was good. Man, you did a fantastic job today. Whatever it is, fill in the blank. So often we don't do that. And I got to say, I've not done it enough in my own life for my kids when they've done well. Even Kathy. Sometimes she has to ask, hey, did you like that dinner or what? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. Well, why did you say so? I mean, husbands ever do that? You ever commend your wife for a great meal? Shouldn't we do that? Isn't it something that we should do? Of course. Somebody does something good, you should commend them for that. You know, what we normally do, though, is we're so quick to criticize when somebody does wrong. We spend more time doing that. Amen. than commending for good. We need to be a promoter of our family. We need to be a promoter of our of everyone in our family. Commend our wives and children. And we certainly need to be patient when they don't do right. I need some help in that area. Being patient with my family, being patient with my kids and grandkids. I need a lot of help in that area. A godly father is to be a provider for his family, a protector of his family, a priest for his family, a pattern for his family, and a promoter of his family. What kind of a dad are you today, sir? What kind of a father are you? Moms, what kind of a mom are you? Father, thank you, Lord, for the message, and we pray that you would help us all, Lord. I'm sure I know I do. I need help. I need spiritual help in being a better father, being a better husband, being a better grandfather.